I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. First Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 19 tells us how to wait for the coming of Christ. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord. And as we look at these scriptures that we've been going through, and especially this last part of chapter 4, we see how that we are to live until He comes for us, until the second coming of the Lord. Now, He's coming for us who name Him as Savior before the second coming. And I want you to understand that today. There is no such thing as knowing the exact date when the Lord is coming back to set up the kingdom that He has promised in the Word. We can look at things that go on around us today and compare that with the Scriptures, and we understand that His coming is close. But how much closer is his coming for the church, for the Christians? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And I'm comforted today to know that I may not have to suffer the death that comes upon so many people. I can be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Christ comes back in the clouds to receive me as one of His own, and I will be forever with Him. And I say this to you today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus loves you, He wants you to be living for Him, and you need to be comforted today knowing that we are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when Jesus comes back for His church. Now, as we look in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're seeing here in verses 7 through 19, once again, how to wait for the coming of Christ. This is speaking of His second coming, but as a child of God today, as a member of His church, His body, I'm also to look to this as to how I am to wait for the coming of Christ for me in the clouds when He comes to take me with Him, to be with Him forever. In verses 7 through 19, through 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Well, let's see in these verses, verses 7 through 10, how we should live, because the end is near. It talks about being sober. Soberly, live soberly, be serious. Seriously watchful in our prayers, according to verse 7. We're to watch with prayer. We're to watch based on facts, on the facts that we've seen in the Word of God that we see daily as we study the Word of God. Rational thinking rather than on speculation. This means that we look to the Word of God, and it's not something that we think, but it's something that we know is going to take place. It's rational. Spiritually thinking from the Word of God. And then we also see in verse 8 here how that we're to love each other with extreme enthusiasm. We're to be excited. We're to help each other. We're to love one another. And we're to be excited about the coming of our Lord. And then in verse 9, it says that we're to be hospitable to each other without reluctance. And that word grudging means means reluctance. We're not to have reluctance. We're not to grumble about the things that's coming along in life, but we're to build each other up. Remember, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the rapture of the church. In verse 18, it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We're to comfort each other daily as the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And in verse 10, we're to help or minister each other with the gifts God has given to us. And let me put this personal. We're to help each other. You're to help others with the gift that God has given you. It's up to you as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, to uplift other people as we see Jesus coming, as we wait for Him. In verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We see in this verse, in verse 11, that those who speak and those who serve, we're to communicate, speak wisely when speaking for God. We're not to just say something that comes into our mind. We're to think before we speak. We're to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And one way we do that is to communicate or speak wise things. And once again, we speak wise as we've studied the Word of God and as we study the Word and as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us as we pray. Remember, we looked at the prayer up in the earlier part here in verse 7. It talks, "And watch unto prayer." We're to pray and we are to ask God for His guidance. And then we're to communicate. We're to speak the Word of God. And then we're also to understand that God gives the ability or the gift to help other people. He gives us the ability. It's not on our own. It's not what we do naturally. It's what God gives us. He gives us the gift to be able to speak. And you know that this verse teaches us that God is to receive all the glory for all the things we do through Jesus Christ. It's all of God. It's all of the Lord. It's all of Jesus Christ. Now in verses 12 through 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Remember, we're looking at how we are to wait for the coming of Christ. Verses 12 through 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about when subjected to intense persecution. And verse 12 says that we're not to be surprised. It will happen. And it does happen. And we're not to be surprised about this, because you remember our Lord went through persecutions. He was persecuted. And He was persecuted to the point where He went to the cross. He suffered and died, and He shed His blood for you and I and for the sins of this world, for those people who live in this world and who have lived. He shed His blood that whosoever would call upon Him to save them, they would be saved because of His death, burial, and resurrection, because of the shedding of His blood. Well, don't be surprised if you're subjected to persecution. And the first part of verse 13, instead of being surprised, we need to be filled with happiness. We need to count it all joy. Now, once again, it's really hard sometimes to be happy when you're being persecuted, but the Bible says that we're not being persecuted for ourselves. We're being persecuted for the cause of Christ, and we're to be happy about that. And also in that verse, in verse 13, it teaches us that you have become a personal participant in Christ's sufferings when you are persecuted for Him. And the rest of that verse tells us that you and we as Christians have overwhelming joy when we see Christ. When you see the Lord, you're going to be overwhelmed with the joy. Can you imagine seeing our Lord and hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? What a joyful time that's going to be. And all the sufferings and any sufferings that people have gone through on this earth for the cause of Christ, that'll all be passed away, and all the memories will be gone of that suffering. We'll be with our Lord. We'll be overwhelmed with joy. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified." Well, verse 14 talks about criticism, criticized and shamed in the name of Christ. It talks about that. And the spirit of exaltation over the glory and of God brings tranquility, according to that verse. The spirit of exaltation, glory for the cause of Christ. And those who reproach you are actually speaking evil of Christ. As I've already mentioned, it's because of Christ that you're persecuted. And being reproached for Christ glorifies Him. When you're reproached, that means you're doing something for Him. You're lifting Him up. You're exalting Him. And it glorifies Him if you're being persecuted. Now, verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 4 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." We're not to kill people because of the cause of Christ, for the cause of Christ. We're not to steal. We're not to do evil. And we're not to talk, be a busybody. And you know what a busybody is. That's someone that's constantly spreading rumors and everything. We're not to concern ourselves with other men's matters. We're to concern ourselves with the Lord. Well, this verse in verse 15 is, for what reasons should a Christian not suffer? A Christian should not be guilty of being a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody. This is a meddler in other people's matters. Notice now verse 16. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Christians who suffer for Christ are not to be ashamed or embarrassed. People who suffer for Christ are to glorify God in suffering. We're to praise God for the suffering that we go through on this earth for the cause of Christ. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The judgment of God is now, according to these verses, in this verse I've just read. Judgment must begin with God's church, with believers. We need to judge ourselves, and judgment will come to those who disobey the gospel of Christ. In other words, we need to judge ourselves as we are acting for the Lord. We're doing things for God to bring honor and glory to His Son, Jesus Christ. And don't worry about those people who disobey the gospel of Christ, because judgment is coming for them as well. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, there shall be where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" The righteous and the ungodly, according to verse 18. If the justified sinner has been judged, what judgment awaits the unsaved? Romans chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." God loves you today. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, you need to do so right now. "Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Save me for Jesus' sake."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.